Welcome! Welcome to Mayfair Bible Church for our virtual Christmas special. And we are so excited that you have gathered with us online to tune into these Advent readings, songs, a kids' reading, a poem, and more. This is a gathering for the whole family. My name is Michael Bresnaw, and I serve as lead pastor here, and I am joined by a lovely assistant, my daughter, Everlyn, and we are so excited to be celebrating Christmas with you. 2020 has waged its battle against all of us with difficulties, uncertainty, hasn't it, Everlyn?
Mm-hmm. Even masks.
Masks and upset with school schedules and so many different things. And it's easy to think that Christmas should be a time just for joy and happiness where everybody seems peaceful and full of prosperity. But the truth is that on the first Christmas, when Jesus the Messiah arrived in that little manger outside a dusty little town called Bethlehem, it was not a time of celebrating, Everlyn. It was actually a time of mourning because the people were oppressed by the government through heavy taxation and abuses of all different kinds, ruled by a man named Herod as a vassal lord set there by the Romans. And everything seemed to be going wrong for God's people in the land of Israel. But in that moment is when Jesus arrived, for those in mourning, for those in the closet of grief, for those even in the darkness of death, Jesus came for you.
Oh, come, oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou dayspring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou rod of Jesse, flee thine own from Satan's tyranny. From depths of hell thy people save, and give them victory over the grave. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O I see all I have need. rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
This is a phone. I mean, you've seen them. You probably have one a whole lot like it. It's your calendar. It's your calculator. It's your window into thousands and thousands of new worlds. It's your camera, your notebook, a map. It's your search engine. This is a personal assistant. And if we're being honest, this is a companion that you touch and interact with probably more than just about anybody else in your entire life. This thing counts your steps. It calculates your calories. It reminds you to take your pills. It tells you that the package you bought is sitting on the front porch waiting for you. The thing wakes you up in the morning. Then it tells you how long to boil your eggs. You do your morning workout video, cast it from right here. You watch your morning podcast right here. This thing is in your hand, in your ear, and in front of your eyes before you've even had that first cup of coffee. And if you're like me, you've probably checked it at least a dozen times before you ever crack open those eggs it told you how to make just a little while ago. Where you go, this goes. I mean, you can text sitting at a stoplight. You can mean tweet from the bathroom. You can comment on pictures between bites at lunch. You can loud talk and power walk on the speakerphone. I mean, there are apps for everything on here. Have your dinner delivered, your groceries delivered, you picked up for a ride. You can close the garage door. You could schedule a blind date. You can book a hotel. You can look up any word. You could write a review. You could read a book. You can binge watch just about everything on here. You can subscribe and save. Oh, we haven't begun to talk about Facebook and Instagram. You can scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll for days, getting lost in a labyrinth of funny pictures, memes, and crazy comments from people you haven't seen since high school. And if we're honest, even though we know better, too many times we're clicking and clicking and clicking on those crazy news stories that just make our blood pressure go up and our blood sugar go down. Before you know it, I mean, it's noon, and you're just now rolling out of that scroll-induced haze, and you remember, I was just going to open up the Bible app and read the verse of the day for a few seconds. But now Mom has texted a whole bunch of times. She's using emojis. This is my phone. It goes where I go, or maybe I go where it goes. I don't know. I mean, I check it standing in line at the bank, waiting for the nurse to call my name in the waiting room, while I'm watching movies, having dinner with family and friends, in business meetings, when I probably should be working. This is my connection to the world. But really, it disconnects me from the world, disconnects me from myself, from God. I mean, not all the time, but if I'm being honest, a lot. And this is just a phone. It's okay to turn it off and to set it down and to walk away. And it's different. It's very different when we turn that off, when we turn off the pixels and just look around. I mean, let's just take a minute and take a deep breath and exhale. When was the last time you had peace? I mean, real, quiet peace. God keeps in perfect peace anyone, everyone who sets their mind on Him. So this Christmas, let's focus our attention on Jesus Christ, who came into the world as the light of the world so that we could all have peace. So tune out the world just a little bit. Turn off the phone. Tune in to God. We light this Advent candle to remind ourselves that Jesus Christ is our peace.
Micah 5:2, but thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, that whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting.
Wow, Everlyn, great job reciting Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Now, what was one thing that you actually liked about the lockdown?
One thing is Stephanie Mutuzzo's
Thrive Kids stories, the movies that she made. Yeah, so during the shelter in place order, Mayfair Bible Church here, we did online services, and nearly every week, sometimes twice a week, Stephanie Mutuzzo and sometimes Linda Demick, sometimes Sarah Henderson, sometimes my wife Stephanie, but many, many times Stephanie Mutuzzo made these Thrive Kids readings. And so for you tonight or this afternoon as you're viewing this, Stephanie Mutuzzo has prepared a special Christmas kids reading. So kids, gather around and listen intently to this great story.
Who's ready to celebrate the best birthday ever? Hi, Thrive Kids. Stephanie Matuzzo here, back with you to celebrate a very Merry Christmas. And sometimes we need to slow down to think about what it is we're actually celebrating when we celebrate Christmas. It's Jesus's birth. So what's the big deal anyways? What's the big story behind us celebrating Jesus's birth 2,000 years later? We're going to read today the biggest story ever, the ABC version. So those good old ABCs are going to help us to understand why we're celebrating this week. Oh, and by the way, when I remove a sticky note, would you say the letter with me? In the beginning, God created Adam and Eve. A. Everything was beautiful in God's good world. B. Then Adam and Eve sinned, and everything was put under a curse. C. But God promised to send a deliverer to save his people. You see that right there? The deliverer. Back in the story, in God's big story, he promised to send a deliverer from the very beginning. One time, God raised up Moses to save his people from Egypt. E. God sent flies. F. He sent gnats. G. And he sent hail so that Pharaoh would let the Israelites go. H. But after they were free, God's people still worshipped idols. I. God gave them judges, but the Israelites didn't listen. J. God gave them kings, but they kept on rebelling. K. God gave them the law, but they disobeyed. L. They needed a Messiah to make things right. M. And do you guys know, remember, Messiah means savior, someone to save us. But God's people were naughty almost all the time. And the other nations overpowered the Israelites and made them captives. O. Even God's prophets were ignored. P. Until finally, God seemed to be quiet for hundreds of years. Q. R. But God hadn't left. He was just getting things ready for his own son to come and save his people from their sins. S. God sent Jesus Christ to die upon a tree. And 3 days later, God raised him up from the dead. You. So we can have victory over sin and the devil. V. Jesus wins. W. And he is our example. But more importantly, he is the yes and amen to all of God's promises. Why? One day we will live forever in Zion, the new world God is preparing for those who love him. Z. There you have it, friends. We worked our way through the alphabet to remind us of why we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. We celebrate because he is our Savior. He has saved us from our sins. That promise is for anyone who has put their faith in him. And I want to go back to actually the letter Y. This really spoke to my heart. It said, but more importantly, he is the yes and amen to all of God's promises. Everything that God has promised has come true and will come true in Jesus Christ. So now that the ABCs have helped us to remember that Jesus is our Savior and he is the fulfilled promise of God, that can help us better celebrate the best birthday ever. Well, Merry Christmas, Thrive Kids. Bye.
Good morning.
I had a dream last night. And when I woke up, I thought I needed to go get Joseph from the Old Testament to interpret this dream for me. You know, like how he interpreted the dream for Pharaoh with the cows and the rivers and predicting the good 7 years and the bad 7 years. Except in my dream, There were no cows and there were no rivers. It was just me standing there in the middle of a desert. And my skin was so burned and my lips were cracked. And I don't remember ever being as thirsty as that in my whole entire life. And I just wanted to cry, but I couldn't because I had no water. There were no tears. So I'm just standing there in this desert, and then all of a sudden, you know, I'm so hot. All of a sudden, I feel this cool breeze, and I hear these words on the breeze. And it felt so real. I mean, I woke up right that instant, and in the bed, I'm sitting there, and it felt so real. It startled me. The hairs on my arms were standing up. So anyway, there I am sitting in the bed, and I'm like, whoa, this must have been what it was like for Elijah when he heard the voice of God on the mountaintop after the earthquake and the wind and the fire. So I'm sitting there, and then it seemed like these words were just like practically written on the wall of our bedroom. And so I'm just thinking, whoa, and then I'm looking around. I've been up late the night before with the wrapping and the gift wrap and tape, and the scissors were all over the floor still.
Well, what were the words in the dream that startled you?
Okay. Drink deeply from the river of my delights.
Drink deeply? From where? There was no water in sight.
I know. So, thus the time machine where I wanted to go back and get Joseph from the rising prominence of Egypt so I could get into his prison cell and drag him out of there so he could interpret this dream for me. And then, all of a sudden, it hit me. Just like the voice from the wind had startled me, It was like the Spirit was speaking to me while I sat in the bed, and I knew what it meant. We are in the desert. It's where we've been this whole year, and it's what we're walking through right now.
Well, it's definitely been a tough year, a dry one. I've been depleted. To be honest, more depleted than I'd even like to admit. Possibly even more than any other time in my life. We've been through a desert, haven't we?
Yeah.
There's been more loneliness, uncertainty, confusion, anger, fear. And some of us have ever faced. And it all hit us at once.
Yeah, it did. And you know what? It seems like some people had some kind of foreknowledge, like they had supplies and were prepared and had brought their sunscreen for this desert. And then it feels like we did not even have a hat.
I know. And it feels weird thinking about deserts as we are now turning our minds toward all things Christmas.
Yeah.
Cold, snow, ice, eggnog.
Yeah, it does feel weird to be talking about the desert and to have a dream about the desert. But you know, what's even weirder right now is preparing for the Christmas season. Just thinking about it, it's so many people are going to just be alone and feel dry.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just say, you cannot smell gravy over Zoom.
This is exactly when we need our family the most. And for so many, we may not even be able to hug a loved one, kiss a sweet new baby, sing Christmas carols out of tune at the top of our lungs together, open gifts, laugh.
Yeah. Speaking of opening gifts, when I was wrapping the presents last night, you know, I was just kind of going through the motions and, you know, getting out the same decorations and preparing for the same traditions, all of it just with none of the joy. It was just dry. And, you know, it kind of bothered me because in that dream, everything was just dry, and this voice comes and says, drink deeply. And I'm looking around in the dream, and even now, in this year, and thinking, from where? What?
His spirit now. God's sweet and refreshing spirit. If there's one thing I've learned from this difficult season, it's that we can never have enough. Enough toilet paper hidden in the linen closet. Yeah. Enough canned goods on the pantry shelf. Enough batteries in the world to get us out of the darkness. My own strength, my own faith, my own habits, my own traditions, no matter how good they are, they're simply not enough.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, we've been through this dry and weary land of a year, and I guess, I had to be reminded, maybe even warned in my dream that, you know, there is a river that never runs dry, and I have to go back to it again and again and again.
Yeah.
Each Advent, I'd pen a poem, a Christ-themed rhyme, a light-filled song about that night divine. My heart was full as ink struck scroll. A Christmas cheer, a snowflake here. A starlit night inspired my mind, my heart felt bright. But try as I might, the Christmas feel is forced this year. The adornments hang like a cheap veneer. No snow, no song, no pine boughs hung could break this despondent spell of the no good, very bad coronavirus 2020 year. Omit the raging illness, every day still unveils the ugliness which rose to the surface in this year of fear. Politicians screaming, innocents falling, landscapes burning, and voting, voting, voting. Facebook seemed to shout at us every week, every month. Hey, it seemed the whole year. Have you yet registered to vote in this year of all years? How can I think of what's ahead when I just want this crazy turmoil to end? How can I write of glad tidings, of holly and jolly, when the whole world appears to be going down into a sin-stained, stench-filled potty? I looked and waited for the Christmas inspiration, a whole week into Advent, and everything still seemed belated, deflated. 2020 was an exhausting receipt of disappointment. At least that much was clear. Stacked layer upon layer, dampening any sense of Christmas cheer. But then I heard the oddest of songs, a dusty genealogy set to meter and rhyme with a little dose of harmony. Take one listen and all appears as one nasty, gassy charade. From Abraham, the line began. Then all the sinners marched on in one disastrous parade. Jacob the deceiver, Judah the abuser, Solomon an idolater, David the adulterer. The longer their march grew, the worse the crew. Rehoboam, Manasseh, Ammon, Jehoiachin, all a sick in the head, a sinful kin. The women in the mix, off treated like cattle and chattel. But then I noticed something that would make even the sleepiest head rattle. A healing was appearing, a redeeming from the rotting, from Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, and Bathsheba. God's grace could be traced down from this tree of names to a young girl with no societal place, Mary. Her name is quietly sung, but then followed by a great anthem. She would give birth to a son, one like no other, because he would save his people from their sins and give them true freedom. At his arrival, nothing was perfect, nothing was bright. The righteous oppressed, the wicked ruled with great might. Yet there, into a darkest mess, that year of all years brought hope and forgiveness. for the world a name, a person, a baby. He would be King of all kings in this, our year of all years, and for every year of our Lord after that. So my drooping head and burdened heart were lifted, for Christ arrived precisely for those being sifted. The infant in the manger wasn't born to those celebrating, but for those in mourning, in the closet of grief, in the presence of pain, in the darkness of death. So as my ink again struck the page, I saw the frame of my portrait of Christmas was amiss because I was relying on the tinsel, snowflakes, and holiday bliss. The joy of Christmas is found in the grace healing our mess, a redeeming light into deepest darkness. Emmanuel enters this, our year, our neighborhoods weary, beleaguered of COVID too near, and declares God is with us still, and he will guide us into another new year. For the one who upended the curse and fulfilled God's promise is the cure for our blah Christmas. Jesus, the Savior, for all drowning in a stinking sin sickness. So in him receive life, rejoice, for he arrived for you that holy night.
The Christmas spirit is that hope which tenaciously clings to the heart of the faithful and announces in the face of any Herod the world can produce and all the indoors slammed in our faces and all the dark nights of our souls, that with God all things are possible, and that even now unto us a child is born. God of heaven and earth, in this Christmas season of pandemic and isolation, when we are distant from friends and neighbors and family, we thank you that with you, all things are possible, and there is nothing in all of creation, not even coronavirus, that is able to separate us from your love. As we welcome the gift of the child, may we share your love that never fails. May we look out for each other and care for neighbors near and far, recognizing our shared vulnerability and strength. May we be grateful for every breath, receiving and giving your love and building your kingdom, and constant prayer that everyone on earth will know the gift of a full and healthy and abundant life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Unstable, come. No, you are not alone. Oh, come, bearing and waiting ones, weary of praying, come. See what your God has done. Christ is born. Is born.
God loves you. And just like that song that was just sung by Stephanie and Dave talked about, God invites you, you who may feel like you're unfaithful or even faithless. You may think about all the things that you've ever said and done or thought about, and you may think, how would God ever love me? But the truth of the good news of Christmas is that God invites the unfaithful to come to him. The people in mourning, the people oppressed, the people in sin sickness, come to him to be healed, to be forgiven, to walk with him forever and have an eternal home with him in heaven. And we have another song to share with you tonight. And this is by our friend, a friend of Mayfair's, Luke Cyrus. Now, Everlyn, do you remember when Luke Cyrus came in concert here to Mayfair Bible Church?
Yes.
Yeah, what was your favorite song from that concert?
Ninja Warrior
song. Well, we're not going to share with you the Ninja Warrior song from the Luke Cyrus Band, but he wrote a great original song, and it is entitled A Savior Has Come to Save.
What?
Yeah, A Savior's Come to Save. It's a new song, and he invited us to share this in our virtual Christmas special. Be sure to check out his website for more Christ-exalting, truth-saturated songs. Here's Luke Cyrus singing with his band, A Savior Has Come to Save.
To ransom.
The world is weary. Businesses, industries, families, marriages, and nations are all showing signs of multiple stress fractures. The past year has waged its battle against us. But this is not a new experience to humanity. The world was weary when Adam and Eve shuffled out of the Garden of Eden, having rebelled against God's good design and will, and sin hung over their heads as they walked away. They lost that communion, that intimate relationship with God. The world was weary. The world was weary on the day when Jesus, the Messiah, was born. The Roman rulers were meting out oppression, and even the people in Israel, some of them had bought into the taxation franchise business system to fleece their own family and friends in the community and to drive in with the Roman government. All kinds of heaviness hung over the heads of the people. Sin was rampant in the first century, as it is even today in the 21st century. The world is weary. And yet, in that weariness and in that mourning, Jesus arrived. And so that favorite hymn proclaims from ages past, long lay the world in sin and error, pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. So fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angels' voices. O night divine, when Christ was born. O holy night, O night divine. Through Jesus the Messiah, we are offered redemption from our brokenness and granted forgiveness from our sin. What is sin? Sin is anything that we think about, say, do that is opposite God's good design and will for his created order for humanity. And you and I have all sinned. I have sinned thousands upon thousands of times. Every man, woman, and child is born into this world a sinner, separated from God because we'd lost that communion when Adam and Eve shuffled out of the Garden of Eden with sin hanging over their heads. Yet to the weary world and to your weary soul, God has offered redemption, forgiveness, rescue. That's what the word Messiah means, rescuer. Jesus, the Messiah, has come to save us. This is why the angel announced to Joseph in a vision in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, said, "And you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Because the name Jesus means God saves. God has shown up to save you. And if you have never taken that step to trust in Jesus Christ, to turn from your sin, your own way, to God's way, to put your faith in Jesus, who said he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through him. And so God is inviting you on this Christmas Eve, or as you watch this maybe on Christmas Day, or any other day, today is the day of salvation for you to be saved, to be rescued. And that's what Christmas is all about. And this is why we can rejoice, because a Savior has come to save a weary world. Rejoices. So as you watch this right now, take the step, trust in Christ, receive the gift of life forever in him. This is why John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the whole world that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And so a Savior has come to save. And in that, you can receive Jesus as your Savior personally, to know God personally. And then with all the rest of those who receive that gift, we tonight, even in a weary world, can rejoice. for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. And we fall on our knees and we say, oh, come, let us adore. Thank you for joining us here at Mayfair Bible Church for our virtual Christmas special. From our family to yours, we say, Merry Christmas!